Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm so thrilled to have Carl Turner as today's guest. Carl Turner is the founder of SwipeBy, launched during his final semester at Wake Forest University, where he graduated with his bachelor's degree in finance and computer science. Growing up in Berlin, Germany, and living there most of his life, Carl had the honor of gaining experience before SwipeBy through working with Google, A.T. Kearney, and the Boston Consulting Group. He also co-founded Sion, a startup democratizing access to fast security response, starting with South Africa and neighboring markets. Carl, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Ashley. Thank you. Excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, I'd love if you could start off by telling our listeners what exactly you do and what led you there.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm the founder and CEO of SwipeBy, which is a startup. We are in North Carolina. So I went to Wake Forest, graduated there, and started the company. And what SwipeBy is doing, we basically turn any restaurant into a virtual drive-through. And so, you know, especially in current times, the word curbside service, click and collect, is nothing foreign anymore, right? Everyone uses it. But we are basically the platform that automates the entire experience. So if you ordered any of your favorite restaurants through SwipeBy, we geofence your location at arrival, so no phone calls are needed. The staff doesn't need to be on lookout. So it's a really smooth experience for you and a smooth experience for the restaurant. And you just pull up, and within seconds, generally, a waiter comes out, gives you the food through your window, and you take off again. So and there's no additional cost. And I've been doing this again for some time now, but that's what we're working on. And right now, you know, we're trying just to help a lot of restaurants getting through the crisis by helping them to automate their curbside service operations.
That's amazing. So what made you kind of get the idea for SwipeBy? Like, what actually sparked this interest in wanting to work specifically with restaurants and create a service like this?
There's actually a longer story here. And, you know, as a lot of startups, we have been to a bunch of pivots and the product has changed. But it actually all started in my first semester senior year, where I was studying abroad, actually at NYU Shanghai for a semester. And one thing that super excited me in Shanghai was that I was able to order delivery for $2 street food, $1.50 for street food. I paid like 30 cents on top. And 20 minutes later, I had it in my apartment. Whereas compared that to the experience, right, in Europe, in the US, it's generally, I order, I need to hit a minimum, I pay a high delivery fee, I pay a service fee, then I need to tip the driver, right? And these are all things that are fine, they make sense, right? There's a different structure here. But I was like, there must be a better way, you know, even with the environments we have in the US and Europe, in the Western world, and there must be a way to potentially make delivery better. It's kind of painful how it is right now, especially if you order for one person. And so what my initial idea was actually to build a peer-to-peer delivery network on a university campus, right? For the ones of you who have been, especially to a lot of US campuses, you have a bunch of dorms, a bunch of academic buildings, and then a bunch of food restaurants on campus generally. So, you know, making peer-to-peer delivery where a student that is at one restaurant walking back to their dorm, if they just pick up another item, you know, or go to an academic building, just pick up another item, which is pre-made and ready and packaged and sealed, you know, you can take a lot of overhead out of the delivery experience. So I started doing that. You know, I talked with the university, talked with the big players in the area, but they were generally all pretty slow. So I was like, all right, you know, they are too slow. I cannot sit around forever and wait that, you know, some big guys move so I can make this idea, bring this idea to real life. And then the next step was kind of, I was looking, one of the learnings we had from trying to build a peer-to-peer delivery network was thinking about how can we scrapture screen time of students looking at their smartphones, trying to do deliveries when that's actually none of their key priority. And one of the ideas for that was the Tinder for food. So a visual food ordering platform where you can explore and, you know, find restaurants around you. We can show you discounts and you're just significantly more engaged with a food ordering app than you would normally be. And that's actually the thing that I started and launched in 2018 was a small test. But, you know, we had a bunch of issues and I can share more about that later, but it actually didn't go too well. And then in summer 2018, I was kind of looking around in the market and we're like, so I built a food ordering app, you know, but it's, I don't see the traction. I need to make this a viable business for now. I know some things I need to fix, but I think in general, I'm not going in the right direction. And then what caught my attention was, you know, Walmart, Target with their click and collect and, you know, the billions of dollars they invest in these infrastructures. But no one was talking really about this in the food space. McDonald's was doing it, Chick-fil-A was doing it, but there, you know, was no platform that enabled anyone to do it. And that is when Swypay, what it is today, was born. Long story.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I think especially one thing that you had pointed out is that you kind of realized that what you had currently planned wasn't working. So you really put in the effort to be able to identify those pain points and be able to adapt moving forward to be able to create a thriving, successful business.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. I mean, it's always important. I don't know. There's not a lot of startups out in this world who are actually doing what they initially were doing. And, you know, if I think, you know, if you look under the hood of some companies, you know, you always see the success stories. Overnight, they grew, right? If you read about Swypay now, it's about how during COVID-19, we're growing thousands of percents. Well, you know, the story is there has been almost 2-3 years, you know, of pre-work where there was not that much growth. But no one talks about these things, right? It's not exciting to talk about, but 100%. So important to listen to customers, look at the market and make, you know, sometimes drastic decisions. If things don't work, you know, you can try to run forever in one direction that doesn't work, but sometimes you just got to shift.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to highlight something that you just said, because I think it's a really important thing for anyone who's looking to start a business to keep in mind. And that was what you had said about there aren't a lot of startups who are continuing to do the thing that they had first started doing. They're now offering something maybe a little bit different or completely different. And I want to say that that's okay. Because as you mentioned, when you're just starting out, it's so important to see how your services and products are performing in the market, how your clients and customers are really feeling about them and making changes as needed moving forward. I think that's a really great piece of advice that you just shared, and something to kind of have people keep in mind is that if you need to adapt and you need to change, that's okay, because that's how you continue to grow.
Exactly. And again, I would share it's normal, right? It's like, it always sounds that companies, that founders had this one idea and it was this a home run. That's honestly not true in 99% of the cases. Just, you know, the point of time you look at a company, if you look at the entire lifetime of a company, you will see that it's not just okay. Honestly, it's almost normal. So.
Yes, absolutely. And one thing that I really like to hear from other entrepreneurs is how exactly they bring in that revenue from their companies and how they make their money. So what's your revenue sources for Swypay?
Sure. It's actually something, you know, which is also one of these things, you know, kind of what's the business model, right? And there's a lot of innovation, right? You can start a company which basically just the business model is different and, you know, you can be really successful with that. Ours has changed a little bit, but in the end, so we don't charge the customer, right? So we're completely for free if you as a user order on the platform. And then what we are doing, we charge a marginal fee to the restaurant, which is really the industry lowest, because, you know, if you think one of the reasons why we also started the company was if you look about, you know, what all the delivery guys like charge to restaurants, it's generally around 30% revenue share. And, you know, in a low margin business like restaurants, that's a lot of money. And so we charge a very, very small fee from the restaurant, similar to a credit card fee. And that's how we monetize. But it's really a volume game, right? So we are making money on each transaction. And it's cents on the dollar, but it's you know, it pays off on volume.
Definitely. And so keeping in mind that, as you mentioned, since you're completely free for the customer or the user, but charging that marginal fee for the restaurant, do you have to actively go out and add restaurants that people can purchase from through the app? Or is it kind of like anyone can go with any restaurant? What's your process with that?
Yeah, so restaurant needs to be part of the app, right? So it's not like we just, you know, can turn anyone on. So we partner with inter-restaurants, we integrate with restaurants. So a restaurant that works with us is fully integrated with us. So, you know, that's a longer process here and there. What we are seeing is, so we do sales ourselves, but we certainly see because of, you know, especially during COVID-19 right now, we have lots of restaurants that are approaching us because they're looking for better solutions and, you know, things to do more efficiently. And then there's an interesting insight is that actually our total cost that we charge to a restaurant can be cheaper than for a restaurant taking an order over the phone. And, you know, that sounds crazy, but one of the interesting things is, you know, and a lot of people know about this, and even sometimes operators don't know about this entire world of credit card fees, right? And their credit card fees vary based on if the credit card is swiped, if the credit card is entered manually, and so on, because it has risk factors. So if you order at a restaurant over the phone and give your credit card information over the phone, the restaurant will pay a significant higher credit card fee on that transaction, and because they entered manually, than if you would swipe it at the restaurant. So if a restaurant uses our platform, it sometimes can be even cheaper than utilizing their phone. And again, so what we are really seeing right now is most of our sales is inbound. We used to have a sales force back in the day, when we started to bring on the first restaurants. But right now we actually don't do any major outbound sales. It's all inbound, people Googling us. We do some things on LinkedIn and so on. So we do some marketing, obviously. But it's really because there's such a need, people are approaching us, which, you know, is a very exciting time if you're a company.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a really interesting point that you mentioned about how the fact that ordering through you could actually be cheaper than ordering through the restaurant because of credit card fees. I had no idea about that in terms of the difference in fees depending on whether you swipe the card yourself or hit your numbers over the phone. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's an entire science.
Yeah, sounds like it. So I know that you kind of hinted at this earlier in this episode, but what was the most difficult start of parting your business while young?
That's a very good question. I need to see, honestly, that there was not that much difficult things about it. I would really see it from a different perspective. I have a bunch of founders who are also pretty young, and obviously, you know, I know a lot of founders who are my age or even younger. And one of the things that I hear quite often was, you know, respect. Like, are you respected by older people? My completely biased own subjective opinion is that is something which I think is more, you know, happens in the head of the founder. I think quite often, especially in today's society, right? Again, a lot of older people respect, you know, young people a lot. I think it's more like a, how do you say, it's, you know, it's almost a stereotype, like, oh, you don't get respected. Mm-hmm. So, like, I want to make sure, like, I didn't feel that at all. I know that that is a concern that a lot of people have, but I would say it's more, you know, it's more sometimes in your own head than it potentially is a reality. And, you know, rejection that happens and so on would happen to a 40-year-old, 50-year-old, 100-year-old person as much as it happens to a, I don't know, 15 to 25-year-old. I think one of the things, again, I would more look on the positive side, right? So, there's a lot of different circumstances. I frankly said came from, you know, really fortunate circumstances. I was as a good university, I was on a dorm, I had a meal plan, you know, so frankly said, you know, what were one of the challenges? I had not, you know, 90% of the challenges that people have when they start a company when they're older, I didn't have, right? It was not that I risked my income. It was not that I risked my family. It was not that if this didn't go well, I didn't have anything to eat. Like, you know, if this didn't go well, I was just, all right, I still go to the food court, eat, and I go to class, right? So I think there is actually a lot of, you know, great opportunities when you are young. And I would encourage, you know, everyone who is young and has an idea, honestly, to go for it, because you cannot fall that much, right? If you fail, you cannot fall that much. If I need to think about a true challenge, I mean, you know, certainly you run into the things that I think, especially if you get into the a little bit later stage, so when you're actually actively fundraising, there's two sides always to the medal, right? If you're young, it means you have a different viewpoint. If you are young, it means, you know, you potentially, again, can, you know, work significantly cheaper for significantly longer because you don't need to feed a family. But on the other hand, if you talk to investors, you know, they certainly want to see people who have done this a million times, right? So, if you look at a lot of VCs, they generally like to fund a founder who has done something two or three times, maybe failed two or three times, but at least has done it. So you will run against that. But I think, you know, if you are confident about what you do, and if you are an expert in the field, right, so have done your homework, that is a marginal point. So yeah, my answer is really is, there were not really that much hardships. I think I would really look from a side how fortunate one is, you know, when you start a company young. And then again, that's really from my subjective and honestly, you know, in complete disclosure, very privileged, you know, going to a US college life experience.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that you have an amazing perspective, as you mentioned, of just kind of looking at what could be potential hardships and instead trying to find the positive and optimistic side of it and kind of realize how you can use it to your advantage rather than something that may be a downfall. But I do want to point out something that you had mentioned, and you had said that you had no other young founders who have experience this, and it's a lack of respect. So that was one thing that, as you mentioned, I mean, it can typically be like a stereotype with people who are young founders that are often deemed as not knowing what they're doing because they're young, which is unfortunate because I know so many incredibly brilliant people who are young. And so that's a big thing that people really struggle with is not wanting to start a business because they're young and they're worried about not getting taken seriously. And people are asking all these questions like, well, what do you know? And how are you going to get paid? And how can you afford to run this and all of that stuff? So I think it's a good point to kind of keep in mind that people should really continue to move forward regardless of their age.
Agree. And, you know, honestly, I think then you probably might talk to the wrong people in parts, right? And this is just, you know, there's a lot of people out there in this world who you might, you know, anyone don't want to talk to. And my point is just, you know, I think like if you have a person that says, well, what do you really know about this? You know, what is really going on? How can you do all of this? This person very likely would talk to an older person the same way, right? And one just think, oh, that only applies to me. And, you know, with an older person, this person might have other critical points that would come up or, you know, would, you know, I mean, again, some people are, you know, looking always negative. Some people are, you know, don't believe in anything that's not there. And, well, you know, these are potentially not your first customers because they're, you know, fast movers, they're early adopters, and then they're followers, right? These are potentially not your investors, right? They're late stage investors who like to invest something that grows 10% year over year, which is, you know, good return, but is significantly more, you know, that's almost private equity or, you know, late stage secure. They could also invest in the market. And then there are investors who, you know, take bets on a bright young person that, you know, has an idea and honestly, statistically will fail to 99% of the time. But, you know, it's more just for that investor, early stage investor, it's more even to see that person on the journey. And especially if a person is young, you can actually attract some of these investors who, you know, are there. Well, if things go well, they make a killer return. But number one, they actually want to support a young person. So, you know, I think there is a lot about finding the right people and spending time with the right people, right? I mean, you can find the right people, but the moment you find the right person, spend time with them and don't put your attention on bad energy, I would say.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Now, on the opposite end, what would you say is the most rewarding part of starting your business?
I mean, I think it's how much exposure you have, right? There is nothing you don't do. It's the learning curve. Like if you start your own business, you just do anything, right? Especially in the beginning. And I mean, if you have a co-founder or a co-founding team, even then you do everything. So I think what is super rewarding is just, I mean, you know, you get a business degree, an MBA degree, you get whatever you are working on degree, you get so much experience crunched in the shortest possible time, which is entirely priceless, right? I think, and like I really believe in, you know, no one likes to fail, but if you fail, the learning experience is invaluable. And I think one of the things which, again, I've seen also, you know, with the internships, with the companies that you mentioned in my bio, is, you know, some people are always scared, well, if I do a startup and it fails, then do I have a hole in my resume? And I would say it's the polar opposite. And, you know, everyone who is in the industry knows that. If you do, you know, if you have an entry-level position almost at any company for 2 years and you started 2 years your own company and after 2 years either failed or, you know, you leave the one job and then let's say your startup failed, like you will have no problem getting hired because if you had a startup, because what you learned in this time, you know, is as much what a CEO would learn in the time. So the most rewarding thing I would say by far is the learning experience and the exposure you get in so many different fields to so many different people.
Yes, absolutely. I think that experience is such a big thing because as you mentioned, I mean, even if you fail, it's always a lesson. So that's one thing that I choose to look at my quote unquote failures as is simply just lessons. I know what doesn't work and I know what I need to do moving forward to continue to grow. And I think that's an important mindset for all entrepreneurs to have regardless of age.
100% agree.
Awesome. Well, Carl, what do you think led to your success with SwipeBy?
A couple of points. I mean, number one is I would say, you know, really smart people around me, a great team, people who believed in me, right? And that honestly, again, in my case, starts with family. I have been really, really fortunate that my family supported me in this, you know, not only with partially financially, but, you know, just being there. I think that makes a huge difference in general, right? Do the people around you who, if that's, you know, close friends, if who you love or don't love, and they just have been there in some cases, but, you know, do the people around you support you? I think that, you know, I mean, huge respect to founders who, you know, have families or close friends who are not supported and then make it because that just makes life so much harder. So that was not in my case. Again, I really support a family. I think, you know, because that's the first people you start when you start with an idea, the first people you talk with as your close friends and likely your family, I guess. So that was a huge contributing factor.
Yeah, I think it's a great one because having people around you who support you and believe in you and know that you can do it is really what helps to keep you moving forward. Especially if you have people who may be naysayers, who may not believe in you. It's like you need those people around you who continue to bring in that positivity and optimism for you. So that way you have all of that creativity and inspiration to keep going no matter what.
Exactly. Exactly. It just makes it so much easier.
Yes, absolutely. So kind of keeping in mind the journey that you've been on over these past few years, if there was one thing that you wish you had done differently or something you know now that you wish you knew then, what would it be and why?
Honestly, you know, I live by kind of no regrets and everything, you know, in the end had kind of, you know, turned out in a good way. You know, I think it's a nice way of looking on things. So there's not a lot of things where I would say, I wish I would have done this different. I think the one thing is, so, you know, a little bit, you know, I guess, you know, your viewers know that about your background, you know, starting companies before, you know, even being in college or early on. And I did the same thing, right? So, you know, when I was very, very young, I started, you know, some magazines with friends, started some YouTube channel with friends, started some server farming with friends. So, you know, what one of the first things I did is if you Google in Germany, how to fight head lice or how to deal with ants, you know, we had like content websites, like at a very young age, you know, where we generated some revenue on. But one of the, I would say, you know, minor regrets is while in college, and again, not everyone, you know, that doesn't apply to everyone. But while in college, I wish I would have started way earlier, right? I think if you, again, looking at, again, my experience, you know, there were so many resources, so many supporters, you know, you have smart professors around you. So I wish I would have, you know, not just started kind of a real business or, you know, something kind of serious for scale and growth in my senior year, but, you know, would have actually pulled through and would have done it in my freshman year because you have, you know, in the US and most colleges, you have 4 years, you know, of time to be in sandbox mode and play and start things and fail. And again, I think nothing really happens if you do. So that would be my only regret. I wish I would have done more serious stuff earlier in college.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that probably a lot of people wish is that they wish they had basically pulled the trigger sooner and been able to follow their dreams earlier than they wanted. But there are a lot of things that, as you mentioned, kind of hold people back from doing so. So I think that's a really great piece of advice to share with people.
Yep. Start as early as you can. Don't be scared.
Yes, exactly. And for our next question, I know you kind of mentioned this earlier and throughout the episode, but why do you think it's important for individuals to start a business at a young age?
Just go what makes you happy, right? And there's, I think, some people, you know, who are really comfortable starting a business, some they are not. And I think, you know, I think everything in a way, the younger you do and the younger you figure out, it's the right thing for you or not is the right thing for you, that's a great thing, right? I would say if you want to do a sport, the younger you start with it, the better, right? If you want to start a business, the younger you figure out if it's the right thing for you or if you enjoy it, the better. So, I mean, there's some things you might should not do, the younger, the better. But again, I think, you know, important to start a business if you are young, it's just, again, you can't really fail. It's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to learn. And the earlier you figure that out, the better. But again, I also highly, you know, acknowledge that there is for some people, it's not the right lifestyle too, right? Starting a business, having your own company, that's not a fit for everyone, I would say. At least that's what I've heard. I have people, you know, tried it and said it just was not their cup of tea. And I think that's totally okay too. So yeah, honestly, whenever it's right, the time for someone, but you know, starting early, what do you have to lose? And maybe a lot of things, and I'm just ignorant not seeing it, but
No, I think you made a great point there. And it definitely ties into a phrase that I personally say all the time, which is if you're even thinking of taking a leap, that's an indication that you should 100% take that leap. So meaning if you even have this idea come into your head of starting a business or trying the side hustle or beginning a new project, that means that you should go ahead and do it because if you didn't want to, you wouldn't have thought of it. So it kind of goes into the same same thing with starting a business, where if you have this idea, you should just go ahead and move forward with it regardless of your age. But I also want to point out the fact that you said too, that the younger you start, the more time you have to get better, which I think is really important too. And of course, there's no shame in people not starting businesses at all or starting businesses as they're older. But I think that there's a huge advantage of starting your business when you're young, because you have so much more time to keep learning, keep growing, and keep making an amazing impact.
Yes, agree.
Awesome. Well, Carl, what would you say is your last piece of advice that you would like to share with our listeners for someone who may be just starting their business?
Good question. I think, you know, one of the things which I think is really important is if you have an idea, and again, that can be partially scary, but, you know, I think that's potentially starting a business is all about. It's the unknown, right? And it's the kind of excitement of what can happen today, what can happen tomorrow. But I think one thing that me really helped, and again, partially though of this, is having a supportive environment, is to share with as many people as possible what you plan to do or what you think about. Because I think what it does is it provides you basically a reminding board, a sounding board. If you tell all your friends, if you tell your family, if you tell everyone, hey, I have this idea about this business, right? They will come back next time you see them. By the way, how's this going? And if you then continue, oh yeah, I did this and this and this, they will come back, how is it going? And you know, while it can be, especially in the early stages, if you have a business that is not up and running yet, and you are really the only reason why the business goes forward is because you are getting up and, you know, pushing this rock up the hill every morning, every day. It's so much easier if you kind of, you know, similar when you run a marathon, if you have people on the sideline cheering for you. And the more people you tell about them, right, it has two effects. Number one, they cheer for you. But number one, it almost feels you kind of, oh, I need to have progress, right? I cannot stand still. Not that you would lose your credibility. Again, it's completely fine to fail and completely fine to stop things and do other things. But, you know, you have kind of this reminding board. So it just does a lot in terms of psychology to you, drive you, just run faster, and, you know, just be motivated and continue to keep going while it adds some pressure, which I think though is a good thing though. So again, that would be my advice, right? Have an idea, talk with as many people around it. You also never know who actually has feedback or has honestly resources and contacts you didn't know about. I think one of the most surprising things is, and you know, one of my big learnings was never, you know, disregard a person, and that honestly falls back, you know, it's kind of the two side. Well, this person is young, right? So why should I talk to that person? But never disregard a person because you think they're not valuable or they're in a different industry. Like, I think it has been so surprising. I should, you know, be completely open book, shared with people what I'm doing. And the networks that opened up, the connections that opened up is sometimes invaluable. And, you know, it's from people you would not expect it from. So share your thoughts, share your ideas, share what you are onto with as much people. Don't be honestly too locked down on it. I think especially if you're young and early, because it just gives you a lot of energy, a lot of affirmation, a lot of, you know, people who drive you, and then it opens up things you might never expected would be coming out of a connection or out of talking to someone about what you are doing.
Yes, I absolutely love everything that you just said, because it's so true. So being able to share your business ideas and your progress with your friends and family, colleagues, anyone else is so important, because as you mentioned, they can have act as a sounding board, they can have connections that they can bring to you, and all of this stuff. And also, one thing that it does help with is accountability, right? So I always say that you can always come up with some type of excuse that stops you from doing something. So if you're sharing with the world that you are launching something, then you'll be like, oh shoot, I actually need to go through ahead and launch this, because now I've talked about it with everyone. So it definitely holds you accountable and make sure that you're continuing to work towards your goals and follow your dreams and all of that stuff. And I think that you just have great advice there, and just being able to share it with everyone is so important, because you never know who may have a connection. I mean, I know personally with me, my college, I've had so many opportunities of connecting with alumni who've become clients. I got my TED Talk through my college, like so many different opportunities. So as you mentioned, never hold back from talking about what you do and what your expertise is, because it can result in so many amazing opportunities for you.
Exactly. And, you know, one point to add there, one of the things I've seen a lot, honestly, with young and old founders, just as founders in general, is the scare of, I think someone copies my idea, so I cannot talk about it. And I live by a completely different philosophy. I also think, you know, like NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, it's like, I mean, what are the odds that if someone signs it and violates it, I actually sue, you know what I mean? So, you know, why even sign it? Why waste the time? But I think one of the things, you know, it's always like, put yourself into the shoes of the person who you're telling your idea. You know, how often have you heard an idea, you know, just anyone, and you said like, oh, that's a good idea. And then you sat down and you stopped everything you do. And then, you know, you raised money for this idea. And then you started working on this idea. I mean, you know, yes, there's a lot of good ideas there. And I hear good ideas from founders all the time. And sometimes I think like, shoot, that might be almost a better idea than what I'm doing. But, you know, the odds that someone actually stops everything they are doing to pursue an idea that you had and where you already, you know, did some work and on some research on, is just very, very unlikely. So I think, you know, the scare of not sharing what you're doing because you're scared people copy it, I would try to get rid of that as fast as possible, because you lose out on so much opportunity not sharing what you are doing.
Yes, you're 100% right. Well, Carl, you have shared so much amazing advice here and tips that I know our listeners will find incredibly valuable. So now I'd love if you could share where they can find you online if they'd like to connect with you and reach out with further questions.
Sure, I would say probably the best resource is LinkedIn. So you can find me on LinkedIn as Carl Turner, CARLTURNER. And then the company again is SwipeBy. So if I don't pop up, if you just type in Carl Turner, I'm not the only one with that name. Probably just add the word SwipeBy to it. And you should find me. And I guess then another way, a little more complicated to get to me, is you can always email SwipeBy. Our email is hello@swipe.by. And if things there are addressed to me, they will get to me.
Awesome. And I'll make sure to also put those links in the show notes as well. So that way anyone who would like to contact you for further questions can click through those and be connected immediately.
Great.
Awesome. Well, Carl, thank you so much again for being a guest on the show. And I look forward for our listeners to hear it.
Great. Thank you, Ashley. It was exciting. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.